828-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
No police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
No police!
Now this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I'm born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Wednesday, July 27th, 2022, and just as I have promised for last week, we had an unavoidable setback that Mark Bincham had, and Mark Bincham's on the show today. He's the conservative state representative from Legislative District 11, or what was Legislative District 11 before redistricting, and he's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure being on. I'm sorry about the hiccup from last week.
Oh, not your fault at all. So no worries whatsoever. But you got to meet a lot of people from Mojave County, a lot of our listeners as well, at the Republican picnic just recently.
Yep. Also, the London Bridge Republican women. Got to give a shout out to those ladies. Man, what a bash they threw.
Yeah, right. They always do. They always do. So anyway, welcome to the show. And we're going to talk all things in the race for Arizona Secretary of State and then some. And we got some interesting picks for our bumper music as well from candidate Mark Bincham. And I'd just like to remind the listeners over on our sports station, KNTR Sports, the Arizona Diamondbacks host the San Francisco Giants. I believe they're up 2-0 in that series. They could sweep, I'm almost positive. Today, the first pitch is at 12:40, and that's over at 980 AM, 94.3 and 100.5 FM. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. The full schedule for the week at KNTRSports.com. And don't forget, just because Mark Fincham's on the phone doesn't mean you can't call in. So go ahead and give us a call if you have a question, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And just as I mentioned, you are a conservative. You're the Trump-backed candidate, and we will talk about that a little bit later in the show. But tell me about Legislative District 11 that you currently represent, and it's soon to be no more from what I understand.
That's correct. So the cities that are covered are Oro Valley. Saddlebrook isn't really a city, but it's a region. Marana, then on up to Casa Grande, Stanfield, Arizona City, Maricopa City. We're rather proud that we have more cows in our district than we do people.
that's funny. Currently, why are you running for Secretary of State?
Well, it all started November 3rd, 2020, mm-hmm. when my constituents reached out and said, hey, there's something terribly wrong with this election. And then my good colleagues, Senator Sonny Borelli and Representative Leo Biasucci, the House Whip and the Senate Whip, we got together and said, hey, our constituents deserve to have a public hearing on election integrity, especially about what we're hearing with Maricopa County. So we pulled that together. I can't keep enough praise on Leo Biasucci and Sonny Borelli, because they really helped me pull together what was something that had never been done in the history of the United States before, and that is a public hearing on election integrity focused on calling for an audit, a full forensic audit of an election. Now, since that time, and because of the evidence that we were able to collect, the testimony that we heard, it became very apparent that we have a serious problem with election process in Arizona. Now, I'm a certified Six Sigma process engineer. I've got a bachelor's degree from Grand Canyon University in state and local public policy, a master's degree from University of Arizona Rogers Law School in law and economics. So this is right in my wheelhouse to try and understand what goes wrong with processes. And when we look at the other people who are in the primary, mm-hmm. I think I'm uniquely qualified to do that job. And, you know, members of my family said, hey, so can you think of somebody who could take on the role of Secretary of State that would do the job to your satisfaction? And I gave that some serious thought. And the answer was, well, unfortunately, no. So that was the day that I realized that that's probably what God's plan was for me. I'm turned out, so I'm about to not be a legislator anymore and was planning on going home. But now comes the unveiling, if you will, of election fraud, election incompetence, election misbehavior, mismanagement, malfeasance. So that's why I'm in the race. Now, you know, the folks who are also in the race revealed that Bo Lane is a Democrat registered as a Republican. He's a Democrat plant. He's previously given to ActBlue and supported Democrat congressional candidates. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Senate's audit, which, by the way, is the first audit in the history of the United States, a forensic audit of an election. So all of those things combined, and, you know, with all due respect to the two ladies that are in the race, Michelle Eugenti bragged about passing lots of legislation. Well, I have to remind her that it takes 31 members of the House and 16 members of the Senate.
Mark? Mark, are you there?
Thanks. Here's the point.
Okay.
Those are legislative skills. Those are not management skills. I have a very different skill set than the other three candidates do.
Right. We caught most of that, except for about 15 seconds, and you had gone on to Michelle Eugenti Rita and the legislature, and you wanted to remind her of what now?
Well, it takes 31 members of the House and 16 members of the Senate to pass a bill. Nobody passes a bill by themselves, but to hear her talk, you'd think that she was the only one in the legislature that got any. In fact, she held bills that were good public policy.
Okay.
That were good public policy in over two sessions in this last term. So, you know, we would have a lot more election integrity statutes in place had she not voted against them.
Oh.
Now, she claims that that's because they were bad policy. Well, excuse me, outlawing ballot collection boxes that are unsupervised, that's not bad policy. Because they're going to be here with us for at least one or two more election cycles before we can outright ban them.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there's this notion, apparently with her, that perfection, it's okay if perfection is the enemy of progress. There would have been great steps towards the ultimate goal, and that is outlawing the use of those boxes altogether.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan always said that, I'm going to paraphrase here, but 80% of a compromise is still a win rather
that's
than
right.
a compromise. But I don't think that's necessarily true when it comes to election security and integrity. Do you?
Well, it depends on that's pretty broad brush. It depends on what that is aimed at. Now, Senator Borelli had, I think, a great strategic move that I don't think Michelle understood. And that is, if you make certain things a mandate on those collection boxes, so for example, security that is akin to an ATM machine where it takes the picture of the person who's submitting the ballot and it only allows one ballot at a time to be submitted and it puts a time stamp on it and all of those things together,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, make it so expensive to use drop boxes that I'm pretty sure Maricopa County would have said, forget it, we're just not going to use them.
Right.
That's a strategic move. And unfortunately, Michelle Eugenti didn't show up for work quite often and quite often didn't show up for caucus meetings where those bills are explained. That would have been an 80% win that I think Ronald Reagan would have been very proud of.
I see. So what, I guess, what was the message? Where was the disconnect on the Maricopa County election audit. Did you find what you wanted to find, or was there a messaging disconnect with the press and the public? Is there something that didn't get out that you thought should have gotten out?
So it's not that we wanted to find something.
Right.
We wanted to find out, was there evidence that would support or disprove allegations of election irregularities, allegations of fraud. And the audit found a mountain of evidence. In fact, if you go to azsenaterepublicans.com and click on reports, you'll see the reports there. Now, you know, here's some trigger words for your audience to be aware of. Whenever you see debunked or baseless claims,
right,
you should immediately know that that is propaganda. That is written by the left. And if you look across Vice News and The Atlantic and The Guardian and New York Times and WAPO, they all use the exact same lexicon. In fact, it appears that they're all using the same writer. They just change the name of the person they're giving credit to. So they're willfully disregarding the evidence that has been presented to the public. And they're just intellectually dishonest. They're providing a narrative that they're essentially trying to cover up the cheat. We don't have a free press anymore, except for guys like you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Here's the question I would ask your audience. Why is it that the legislature is doing the job of an investigative journalist? There's one for you. Now, it's part of our job. We're elected to ask questions, and we're elected to dive into irregularities. But it seems rather curious that the news media just repeats the same story week after week and talks about debunked and baseless. But, you know, they make the claim that 2,000 mules was debunked. Really?
Right.
How?
Right.
How do you debunk something that is absolute fact? In fact, the geo-tracking was recognized by both the FBI and the courts as completely accurate.
Right, we talked about that before the show, and it's almost like they don't understand the terms that were used in the film, you know, geotracking, or they're discounting it because it was a roundtable discussion with the Salem talk show host, you know.
They don't want to understand. They don't want to report back. What they want to do is they want to focus on one small soundbite. Oh, the audit found that the ballots matched. Well, no, actually. What it found is, let me put it this way. If you're a bank teller and you start your day with $1,100 bills in your drawer, and you know that all of them are legit, you end the day with $1,100 bills in your drawer.
Uh-huh.
But you also come to find out that you have 170 fakes, 170 counterfeits. Do you still have 1,000 bills in your drawer? Well, of course you do. What you don't call out is the discrepancy with the counterfeits. We have the same situation with the Maricopa County audit. In fact, the AP reporter this morning was interviewing me. Said, well, you know, there's no evidence and the machines and the this and the that. It's like, okay, wait a minute. First of all, we to this day have not yet been allowed to examine the code that is on Dominion, ES&S, and Hart InterCivic black box ballot tabulation equipment.
Right.
That's why Carrie Lake and I filed suit back in April to ask for a temporary restraining order against the use of that equipment. Now, we have proof in algorithms and statistical studies that show an algorithm at work in elections all over the country. It's the same circumstance. Now, statistically, that is absolutely impossible.
Have the efforts that you and Sonny Borelli and Leo Biasucci and others in the legislature to secure the election, you know, our election process more, I guess what I'm asking is, do you feel more comfortable this election, not so much the primary, but the general election, that you've made some headway?
I'll feel more comfortable after we get the decision from the U.S. District Court judge in Phoenix on our lawsuit. Last Thursday, we had the arguments. I think we survived the motion to dismiss, and they went right to presentation of declarations and evidence. I'm expecting to hear something from the judge sometime this week, and I'm prayerful that he will give us the temporary restraining order and force the examination of the code. Now, if we can get access to the code and we can have a forensic code person go in and take a look, find out whether or not there is something in it, and the Smartmatic software is the problematic piece of this. If we can verify that there's nothing in there, that will answer a whole lot of questions. But keep in mind that Alex Holderman, Professor Dr. Alex Holderman, in a case in Georgia against Raffensperger, crook that he is, gave testimony that he was able to hack their system, their Dominion system, with a cell phone within 5 minutes. Now, the reason that's a problem is that testimony was sealed, and CISA, which is a federal organization that is responsible for election security, they asked the judge to seal the evidence because why? Well, because nefarious actors might gain access to the information that would compromise the system. Okay, wait a minute. They already have access to it. The reason for trying to put this under seal was to hide it from the American people. So, and by the way, Arizona was one of 13 states that Alex Holderman testified was compromised. So, I'm concerned about that piece. I'm concerned that Doug Ducey, our governor, vetoed a very important piece of election integrity legislation. I'm very concerned that he intervened when the Attorney General was writing an opinion on another election integrity issue. But we did pass a couple of things that I think are really important. One is a referral to the ballot for the voters to decide on enhanced voter identification. We've got to be able to positively identify legitimate voters, because every illegitimate voter that votes, is permitted to vote, nullifies the vote of another. And it could be a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter. If you don't have a right to vote, you shouldn't be voting, and you should be blocked from voting.
Yeah,
so
that's absolutely right.
That's a referral to the ballot, and I'm pretty sure that folks are going to pass that, because we know that 67% of Arizonans, and this is a plurality, it's across all parties, and even the independents, they want enhanced security over elections. That is a winner for them.
All right, Mark, we need to go and take a break. And again, we're talking to conservative state representative Mark Finchem, who is a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Mark likes Brooks and Dunn, by the way, and we're good with that here, of course. And I'm going to play a little My Maria for you, and we'll come back with some more Brooks and Dunn out of the break. Mark, hang on a second, and we'll come back on the other side. Back in a moment on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy.
I'm a lonely dreamer on a highway in the sky. But Maria, love you, girl. Oh, Maria, love you, girl. Maria, I love you.
A little Brooks and Dunn by request of our guest, of course, conservative state representative Mark Finchem, who's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. You just told me you're headed for downtown Phoenix, correct?
That's correct.
And you're not even in session.
Yeah, but I still got work to do for my constituents. I've got a young lady that needs to have some help with school choice for her son. I've got a constituent that is trying to get the U.S. Forest Service to leave his cows alone. So, just because we're out of session doesn't mean I'm out of work.
Yeah, I got
you. Plenty to do. Plenty to do for a state representative that cares.
Perfect. Our show is brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Speak Out, sponsored by Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, and by Patio Paradise. And I'll just remind Mark, if you want to hear the archive of this show, it's at kntrtalk.com. And also on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And we talked a little bit off the air. We got into one of my passionate topics, who is one of the candidates on the Democrat side, Adrian Fontes, the infamous Adrian Fontes. And you think he may be the nominee there for the Secretary of State position?
I don't know. It's a toss-up, quite frankly.
Okay.
I think that between the two of them, I don't care which one I'm going to go against. Both of them have serious defects. But Adrian Fontes was involved in the whole Fast and Furious gun running thing. He was also the Maricopa County recorder,
right,
in office during the November 3rd, 2020 election. I want people to remember that. He owns that.
Yeah, that,
he owns that.
Right, right. And since unseated by, I can't remember his name.
Stephen Richer.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Stephen Richer. So I don't know. Anyway, tell us what is the Secretary of State? What is that office responsible for?
Well, there's a number of things that the Secretary of State is responsible for. Library content, it seems kind of odd, but, you know, taking care of the state seal, certain business filings, certainly tracking what lobbyists are representing whom. They're supposed to have a database. Well, they have a database that a lobbyist has to declare who they're representing. One of the problems we have with that, it appears to be a manual system. It's not a point-and-click computerized system. That's one of the things that I want to take care of so that legislators know right away who is representing whom. But moreover, the probably the most important thing that the Secretary of State is responsible for is a senior officer over elections in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, we have 15 county elections. We don't have state elections. I think most people understand that, but for those who don't. And the Secretary of State is responsible for supervising those as the chief elections officer. What that means is that the Secretary of State is responsible for making sure that every person who's involved with elections is following existing law. Now, the Secretary of State is not a law enforcement officer, but that individual is a supervisor over people who are managing elections. And if the elections managers at the county level are not fulfilling their responsibility to follow the law. And for folks that aren't certain what that is, Title 16 in Arizona Revised Statutes,
mm-hmm.
Title 16 is all election law. And there's a lot of content there. If certain things are not done, if certain laws are not followed, they can impact an election. And if it's serious enough, alter the outcome of that election. And that is why the Secretary of State has to be in a position of supervising elections and working closely with the Attorney General's office so that when there is a violation of law, that it is quickly examined, that evidence is collected, that testimony is collected, and a complaint is filed with the Attorney General's office so that we can take swift action. Because we have a very specific timeline in which we have to complete investigations before a canvas of the election material can be completed.
We're hearing so much about the handbook from the Secretary of State's office as well, and the back and forth with Mark Brnovich and Katie Hobbs. How important is that book, and what do you propose any changes as far as the input or the content of that book?
Well, the Elections Procedure Manual essentially carries the weight of law. It's a regulatory document. Think of it as a recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that have to happen. These are the things that have to happen in an election. These are the things that you're responsible for executing on. So, and I want to emphasize that, the Secretary of State is not a public policy position. It is an execution position. You are responsible for executing on the laws that the legislature has written. Now, the problem we have is that Katie Hobbs, current Secretary of State, a Democrat, is engaged in attempting to alter public policy through the use of regulatory authority, what that means is in rewriting the election procedures manual to include things that frankly shouldn't be in there. They're public policy pieces that the legislature hasn't approved. So Attorney Brnovich and the folks over in the Senate said no. In fact, I think it was like 262 pages mm-hmm. of the proposed new election procedure manual were redlined, meaning this is unacceptable. The legislature hasn't approved this. The attorney general hasn't approved this. So where we stand today, we're still working on the 2019 election procedures manual.
Yeah, of course. That actually makes perfect sense as to why Secretary Hobbs would want that manual in place. It worked the last time, correct?
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
She was going for the gold, man. She wanted to add all kinds of stuff that would favor one party over another. And the role of the Secretary of State, the moment you're elected, you really need to take off your partisan hat because you are representing everyone.
Sure.
You're not just representing one party or another. In fact, that job is to represent people, not parties. And that's not what we've seen with the current Secretary of State.
I got you. All right, we're going to take our second break of the hour. And, again, we're talking with conservative State Representative Mark Finchem, who's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Your calls are welcome, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Here's a little Red Dirt Road by request of candidate Mark Finchem. All right, we'll be right back on Speak Out. Stay with us.
I learned the path to heaven is full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I learned I come to know. No shoes, no shirt, and no problem.
Hey, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but no shoot, no shoes, no shirt, no problems is like a motto in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah, I've seen that before. That's why I love coming up to visit Leo and Sonny.
Right, right. We'll get to that in a minute. That's a great segue, by the way. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. LesOlson.com/Kingman is their address online. Les Olson, OLSON. com/Kingman. And speaking of Leo Biasucci, you have an important endorsement for Leo, don't you?
Yes, I endorsed Leo a while back. He's been an outstanding representative for your legislative district, and quite frankly, I think he would be well served to make sure that he gets reelected.
Right. Hey, let's talk about, you are the Trump endorsed candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Let's talk about that a little bit. How did that come about? Did President Trump just all of a sudden contact you, or did you seek his endorsement? How did that work?
He reached out to me about, gosh, I want to say April of 2021.
Okay.
And we had a conversation, and his suggestion was, you know, I'd like to endorse you, but I want to see how things are going to flow. Because what he didn't want to do is trample all over the ongoing, that was the time of the audit, remember?
Oh, right.
And he said, I'd really like to endorse you, but I'm fearful that it might interfere with what's going on with the audit. I said, well, I understand that. I think that's good judgment. So then October 13th at 10:20 in the morning, I get a call from Donald Trump. I'll never forget it. It was 20 minutes of, hey, Mark, I'm calling to tell you that I'm endorsing you today. Well, the backstory of that is, at the time, I was trying to finish up my master's degree, so I usually up 5:30 in the morning. Got up, made a cup of coffee. All of a sudden, my phone's blowing up around people texting me a Fox News alert. President Trump is set to endorse Representative Mark Finchman for Secretary of State. And immediately, I go into a panic mode because I had been talking to his staff about getting the endorsement. And I was fearful that somebody on my team had leaked something. So I called his team and I said, if there's a leak, it didn't come from me. And they started laughing. They said, well, actually, sir, it came from him.
That's funny.
So here I am freaking out over it. It was a teaser that they had laid out just in preparation for his announcement earlier that day.
Let me ask you, you said you were studying for your master's. How much did that delay your master's, if it did at all?
How much did what delay?
The activity, the endorsement, the excitement, the press around it.
Oh, not at all.
Oh, good.
I'm one of those people that can power through whatever my task is. Mm-hmm. My attention is paid on it and not other things. So, you know, I took it in stride. Sure, I celebrated for a little while, maybe an hour or so, but then got right back to work.
Maybe an hour or so. That's funny. Hey, we have a video of you at a Trump rally on our Facebook page, the KNTR Talk Facebook page, and you have I call it your trademark, the white cowboy hat. You always have the white hat on. You ever consider putting on the red MAGA hat instead?
There have been a couple of times where I did it just for a momentary photo.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I suppose I could probably do that. You know, another funny story. I was on my way back from Washington, D.C. last night, walking through Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and somebody in management with a certain airline that I won't say because I don't want to get the guy in trouble. But I hear... Mr. Finchman, this guy coming up, walking up on me, and he says, I just want to tell you, thank you, and I voted for you. Oh. Here I am in the concourse of the airport, and the guy comes across the concourse to say that to me. I tell you, in a world where so many people are ready to kick your teeth in,
right?
That was a moment. It really... makes you feel appreciated that your hard work on election security and election integrity is recognized by constituents. Now, of course, the media hates me. The establishment hates me. That's why they're pouring tons of money into a couple of the candidates to try and prevent me from making the primary.
Are they, I mean, I thought they would hate you because there's an R in front of your name. Are they pouring money into other candidates that have R in front of their names?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. You've got the establishment is pouring money into two campaigns. That's, Shauna Bullock and, Bo Lane, because they are fearful that I will make it through the primary. And what I don't understand, if I have a history of law enforcement and I am committed to holding people accountable to follow the law, that's my chief function as an elections officer. Why are you afraid of that? Unless, of course, you're not already following the law and you're afraid that perhaps now you have to change your behavior.
Right.
That's
right.
The only reason I can think that somebody would be afraid of me.
So I can't help but think that there are other candidates out there that you hope win their respective seats. Like the other Trump-endorsed candidate is Abe Hamadeh, of course. Have you endorsed any other candidates besides Leo?
I've endorsed Leo. I've also endorsed David Farnsworth, who is running against a fellow by the name of Rusty Bowers, who is the Speaker of the House, who held the vast majority of election integrity bills, refused to hear him.
Wow.
So he's one of those guys that wants to protect the status quo. And quite frankly, the status quo is unacceptable to the voters. They've made it very clear, very clear, that it's unacceptable for our election system to continue on the way it is. So I endorsed David Farnsworth, have endorsed Teresa Martinez. Most of them are our legislative positions. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've endorsed Kerry Lake, and have not endorsed too many others, just because I've there comes a point where you endorse too many people,
yeah,
and it kind of it brings away the importance of your endorsement. There's some key people that I have endorsed, though.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that about Speaker Bowers. That's very interesting, given the fact of the content of the testimony that he gave to the January 6th committee. So thanks for letting me know that. I mean, if I didn't know that, I'm sure a lot of other people didn't know that.
Well, he actually was untruthful in his answer to the J6 committee. He claimed that he had no knowledge of it, that he had not seen any evidence. Well, okay, I delivered evidence to his desk while he was sitting at it in front of another member. So for him to say that was a huge surprise to me. You, sir, you have indeed seen evidence. You just refused to acknowledge it. And in that, I believe that, and I've said this before publicly, I'll say it again, I believe that he has been derelict in his duty and does not deserve any kind of recognition for a future legislator. That man should not be elected again. That's why I am supporting with all the force that I have, David Farnsworth.
Right. Again, we're talking with conservative state representative Mark Finchem, and he's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. So I'm always curious when a state rep goes for an office like treasurer or secretary of state, why not state senate? Did you consider a run for state senate before you filed for secretary of state?
No, I'm a man of my word, and I told my constituents when I was first elected two things. Number one, I'm not ever going to be worried about getting reelected, because if I don't vote with your interest first in mind, I don't deserve to be reelected. If I'm not performing the job that you've hired me to do now, why would you vote for me for a future job? Now, the second point in that is I committed to observe term limits. Now, what that means is you have four terms in the House or four terms in the Senate. Now, there are individuals who I think they're quality people. They're good representation. Some people enjoy doing this work, and they are willing to, once they're termed out in one legislative body, they'll shift and go to another, which means you could do four terms in the House, mm-hmm. then essentially swap with a seatmate and do four terms in the Senate. And I just told my constituents, I'm not going to do that. I want to make sure that we have a freshening of representation. So if you continue to reelect me, and I was reelected three times, if you continue to place me in that position of authority over public policymaking, at the end of my eighth year, I'm going home. I'm not going to swap. And I think that that garnered a lot of respect with my constituents, because I did what I told them I would do.
So I ask a lot of candidates this almost every single interview I do with a political candidate. What is the number one, number two, number three? What are the list of things that you're hearing from constituents out there, especially around the state, not just in your district?
Number one, they're hurting, man. They are hurting with the level of inflation. Inflation is touching everything, especially fuel. So think about it. Everything gets to the store by way of fuel. So, you know, people that used to be able to afford a steak every now and then, mm-hmm. they're lucky to be able to afford hot dogs or a can of tuna. And the cost of living has skyrocketed because it touches everything. So I'm very pleased that we were able to put a tax package together that once again reduced the tax burden on Arizona taxpayers and introduced a flat tax. It makes it so easy to do your taxes and at the same time reduced the tax burden. So you have an introduction of ease of function, which reduces cost and tax preparation. And you have a true tax cut, so you're not paying as much to the government. And I'm a firm believer that it's not the government's money, it's your money. We need to keep our hands off of it. And in fact, this is probably another Newt Gingrich thing. we don't have a taxing problem. We have a spending problem.
Absolutely. And
now, with that said, I know there's a few people out there that are appalled that you have an $18 billion budget. Well, back off of that a second. We have roads that are falling apart. We have bridges that are falling apart. We have made a significant move towards backpack funding to make sure that kids are not trapped in failing schools anymore. So we've got infrastructure, we've got education, we're doing what we can for the Border Strike Force, $500 million for that, to make a difference. There are things that we as a state can do to tighten up border security where the Biden administration has refused to act in a responsible manner. In fact, this open borders policy is allowing criminals and war fighters into our country. People from countries that hate us are sending their people here, embedding them into our country. And I am loath to think that one day we will have an internal struggle in this country because, and I'm talking a kinetic component to a war. Right now we're already engaged in a war. We're engaged in an information war, a cyber war. The only thing that's missing is bullets flying. So I'm very concerned that international provocateurs have moved into our country, and with the investment that we've made with Border Strike Force, we should be able to increase manpower. Our biggest problem is we can identify all the drugs coming across the border. What we can't do is arrest them all, intercept them all, because we just don't have enough manpower. The border sheriffs are so understaffed, so under-equipped. So we're going to help with that. We also, I think, are due for a technology upgrade. If we have the right drones collecting the right information, it helps us target the individuals that we should be focusing on and picking up as opposed to trying to boil the ocean. So, I mean, the budget piece of this, mm-hmm. a lot of this is one-time money, and much of it is because the state experienced a windfall. Well, we're not going to have that again because we have done what? Reduce tax burden to the people. So as much as I don't like spending money like that, there are some critical infrastructure things that we had to do. Most of all, fixing our broken roads and our broken bridges.
Right. I got you. Hey, we have about 1 minute, maybe a minute and a half left. What is the last thing on Speak Out that you want to impart to the voters as we go to our last break?
I would love to have people check out VoteFincham.com. That's VOTE. F like Frank, I-N like Nancy, C-H-E-M like Mark.com. If you click on news, you'll find all the interviews that I've ever done. You'll be able to see that I am a consistent conservative. I'm not just a sunshine patriot. And that I have called for audits, not just in Arizona, but I believe that every election system needs to be audited periodically, if not regularly. So again, VoteFincham.com, if you want to make a contribution to help us keep the fuel in this engine. I would appreciate it. There's a donate button up there, and you can also check out all my social media posts. We get a little edgy once in a while when we see something. We're not afraid to call people out for misbehavior.
Sounds good. Mark, good luck on Tuesday. Again, the election, primary election Tuesday, August 2nd. And early voting ends this Friday, the 29th. So good luck, Mark, on the election trail. And hopefully we'll see you in the general.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, we appreciate it. Thanks for a great hour. All right, back with more in a moment. We're going to take our last break of the hour. I'm Paul Lavoie. What a great hour with conservative state representative Mark Fincham, who's a candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. Again, the website is VoteFincham.com. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, one of my favorites when it comes to country, Montgomery Gentry, of course. Great interview today with Mark Fincham. I want to let the listeners know this is the first time we've been able to tell you that we are going to have election night coverage live on KNTR Talk starting at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night from the Win-Win Casino at the Shops at Lake Havasu. That's near Dillard's if you want to come out and join us live. It'll be myself and Roger Galloway on the air for 2 hours from 8 to 10. And Roger is going to spend a lot of time at the election office in Kingman, of course, with Alan Tempert, Director of Elections. And Roger will be getting us some early returns as they come in. So you'll want to join us for that on election night. Again, that's Tuesday, August 2nd, this coming Tuesday, for election night coverage live from the Win-Win Casino. It'll be myself and Roger Galloway. All right. We've got Hannity coming up next, preceded by Fox News. Have yourself a great afternoon. Be careful of any storm activity out there. Stay out of the washes. And, of course, stay hydrated. We'll see you tomorrow.
Said, let me tell you right now.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ, HD2, Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.